And hello, good people of the internet. It is I, Tommy Kelly. This is Adventures in Woo Woo. And this episode is another segment from the question and answer series that I've been doing over the last couple of days. It was just I took it out of the last video because it was too long. And I'm trying my best to keep all of these videos under 20 minutes because I think that's about the highest attention span that I personally have for this sort of stuff. And I assume I'm not alone in that. And given the feedback that I've been getting recently, people are happy enough with the 20 minutes too. So this is a question all about the Arcane School, Alice Bailey, Theosophy, and why I'm into it, what I get out of it, what attracts me to it, what it's about. And yeah, I just want to say I'm certainly no expert in any of this stuff. It's something I have spent an awful lot of time with and I've read it very deeply into and I'm very, very into, but I'm in no way presenting myself as an expert in any way on it. And there is possibility in some of the things that I say that I might have wrong. I don't think it's wrong. I'm not intentionally trying to get it wrong. I'm trying to present it as true and as clear as possible from my current understanding. But that's the thing. It is my current understanding. So if I do get something wrong, please don't send me hate. But do, you know, do correct me. Do feel free to correct me. So anyway, the question is here. Steve Machine, great name. What is it that draws you to Theosophy? I've seen some videos about it from the past from you, but I'm curious about the whole arc of the story with it, especially since you took a long break from vlogs. It's not necessarily just Theosophy. It's a particular brand of Theosophy, which is the Alice Bailey stuff. It's kind of neo-Theosophy, I suppose. That's usually a derogatory word, but in a sense, neo as a new or, you know, the thing that came after, not classic Theosophy. So it's somewhere between the HBB, Madame Blavatsky, which is the early initial Theosophy. Then there's a kind of a sense between Annie Besant and Charles Leadbetter, or Leadbeater, whatever way you want to pronounce that. I've heard both, who kind of brought it a bit more from the Eastern stuff into a bit more of a Christian, in a sense, stuff where they were expecting the Maitreya, who was Krishnamurti as far as they were concerned, you know, the return of Christ. And there was definitely more of a Christian element, which is strange given that Annie Besant was a total atheist, like legal trouble and stuff like that for being an atheist and sending out pamphlets and stuff like that, and completely changed her mind upon meeting Madame Blavatsky. Annie Besant's autobiography is quite good if anyone wants to read it, just for understanding how a very unlikely character. Like you kind of have this kind of sense that an awful lot of people present about Theosophy as these people are kind of gullible and stuff like that. And these people are highly intelligent, very not gullible people, very skeptical people, particularly Annie Besant, coming from a completely anti-religious point of view to then be presented with the ideas and kind of going with it. But they brought in a more kind of Christian element, which then into Alice Bailey is kind of continued. Of course, Krishnamurti said, no, I'm not the Messiah. I'm just a very naughty boy, and that there is no Messiah, and stop looking for the Messiah. And he went off, even not allowed his students to even read any kind of spiritual literature or anything like that. Just don't concern yourself with any of this. Let it unfold naturally. Of course, then he wrote several books about spirituality. So, you know, there's incongruities all around. But the Alice Bailey stuff has a more westernized approach to things rather than the easternized approach. But still, it's presenting more or less the same material, sometimes in an awful lot more depth than, say, The Secret Doctrine would. But has very much the Christ-conscious thing at its core, with Christ being the first human from this round to achieve the fifth initiation, which is masterhood. So the entire actual proper awakening that are going through all five initiations. He was the first human to do it. Just want to interrupt here. Sorry, past Tommy. This is future Tommy. I just wanted to say, I feel I might be not giving the full picture on this whole kind of Christ as the first person or the first human to achieve masterhood. I don't mean that, and it's not presented in the teachings in any way, that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago was the first person. The person who incarnated as Christ for the last 3 years of Jesus Christ's life is the Christ who was the first person, the first human to ascend past the fifth initiation and become an ascendant master, or whatever, you know, the Mahatma, whatever word you want to use for that. The Buddha was enlightened before him, and not 500 years previous, a long time ago. But he seemingly has come from a different evolution, not necessarily on this planet. In fact, not on this planet. As I will tell you later, the whole thing's very New Age, hokey and woo, and it's part of its charm for me. So the Christ was the first human being from this cycle, this chain of evolution, to get to masterhood. Not 2,000 years ago, a long time ago. And that's just because I didn't want people to go, well, what about all these enlightened masters before then? Are you saying that they weren't enlightened? I'm not. I'm just saying that the Christ was the first. Didn't happen 2,000 years ago. Probably happened in Atlantis or somewhere like that. And why I'm drawn to that was that, number one, it was the first after Stuart Wilde. And this kind of happened very concurrently. It was the first spirituality that I was exposed to or was presented with when my, through my aunt, who gave me the Stuart Wilde books and who talked whenever I met her a couple of times a year when she'd come over from London to visit, where we talked extensively about Theosophy and Alice Bailey and all this kind of stuff. She then subsequently bought me all 24 books of Alice Bailey, which I struggled to read when I was, whatever, when she would have bought me for me when I was 16, 17, something like that. And I kept them over the years with me, moved with me to all the houses I was ever in and my flats and all that kind of stuff. But it dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. And then last year I rebought all of them again. I think I had to buy 8 or 9, you know, that just had gone missing over the years. I did try to join the Arcane School when I was 19. The first time I joined, they rejected me, saying I hadn't a full enough understanding of what it was, which was fair. And then I joined again a number of years ago, didn't fully gel with me at the time, because what I was looking for at the time was to sort my life out. And the Theosophy of Alice Bailey is not a sort your life out stuff at all. It's kind of saying, not that it's not, doesn't matter. It's just that that's separate. Sort your life out on your own time. Now here's the work on a different level. But with still the kind of thing of that it does play out in day-to-day life. It's more complicated than just how I'm expressing it there. But what I was looking for at the time was someone to help me stop feeling like shit, and to sort my life out a bit and to maybe understand my relationships and my life rather than the greater capital L life or creation or whatever it was. What I like about it is the emphasis is not on the individual, the emphasis is on group and on the world and on people in general. It's kind of like a socialist spirituality in many ways, in that I found an awful lot of spirituality and an awful lot of the awakening stuff and not a lot of the non-duality stuff, which in a very strange way, given that the whole premise of it is that we are all one, it's very much focused on we are all one, let's me as a person find that out, and may the focus be on me finding that out. In many ways, not in all ways, and definitely not in its original tent, I wouldn't say. Partly presented these days as part of that kind of thing we have now where it's, you know, me-centred and all of this. Whereas Alice Bailey stuff is not at all. It's definitely us-centred, group consciousness, group work, group learning, all of that. This whole idea of the group of New World Servers, which are people all over the world who mightn't even know who they are, who are all working toward the common goal, which is the plan coming out on the earth. An awful lot of stuff sounds very kind of woo and kind of, you know, really? You know, because an awful lot of these ideas were then taken and very watered down and turned into shitty versions by Hay House and released as books or whatever it is. You know, like stuff like The Law of Attraction is in Alice Bailey, but it's not The Secret. It's not if I think of a car, I get a car. It's in very little to do with materialism at all. So all of these kind of notions of the masters and hierarchies and God's plan and the return of, you know, the Christ and all that sound hokey because of what happened after. But if you actually go to the material itself and you read it, you go, well, that's presented in a very different way, often in a very poetic and amazing way. You know, the writing of the books themselves, which purportedly are by the master DK, Tibetan dude, who they don't say it, channeled, dictated the books to Alice Bailey. I like the focus not being on the person. I like the focus not being centered on an individual at the heart of the teaching as well. It's not sort of centered around a guru. Like Alice Bailey herself, it's not that important to the Arcane School at all, other than she wrote the books. You know, there's no veneration at all of her. There's no kind of looking up to her being completely right about everything, or that they have some sort of secret knowledge that we don't. Even with the master DK himself, then for most of the time the books were being written, he hid the fact that he was the master and he just called himself the Tibetan, and he says that I'm a brother of some learning, you know, it's slightly higher than you, slightly lower than others. And so there's no kind of need to have an ego at the center of the teaching that it all surrounds, you know, like something like, say, like an Adidas or a lot of the kind of cult stuff where you have one person at the center who's kind of, you know, the prophet, who in some way is the focus of the teachings, which who is as important or even often more important than the teachings themselves, who's then their personal preferences and wants and needs and idiosyncrasies and, you know, darkness and brightness and all the things are presented as equal to the teachings of the universe or whatever it is. You find that an awful lot in different groups. And that doesn't at all happen in the Arcane School. Who DK is irrelevant. Who the masters are, to a large point, is irrelevant. And who Alice Bailey is irrelevant. The focus is on you and your inner teacher, you working with your soul, your HGA, or the solar angel, as it's called in Theosophy. And that's your teacher. That's who it is. It's not to look for someone
you know, to say the time of the guru-student relationship is long gone, particularly in the West, it's not appropriate. And it's not how we learn, because that's not what we're doing, because we're moving from different stages. And the next stage is to move into mental, and that's not quite, it's not the mental stage. It's not saying it's a rational stage. That's not what it's meant. It's the into your mental body, a thinking body, rather than a feeling, because we base so much of our life and so many of our decisions and so much of what we're doing. And our thoughts are coloured by the emotional body, which is essentially the astral body, if you want. Although we have this kind of thing that the astral body is like full of dream kind of scapes or stuff, that we have a very visual kind of sense of what the astral world could be, you know, from astral travelling and stuff. But in the theosophy kind of sense, the astral, while an element of that, okay, is more based on your astral, the astral body is your emotional body. And this is how we kind of seem to go through the world. This is how we see the world. And that is, in a sense, the delusion of the world, in that how we're not seeing that these things, we're seeing it through emotions, where you have something in the corner that looks like a snake and you get scared. So you're seeing it through the prism of the astral or the emotional body of it being scared. And it turns out that it's a rope, that it wasn't a snake all along, but you had the experience of being a snake. But with the kind of idea that it doesn't matter at all whether it is a snake or a rope or a nothing or a shadow or whatever, is that that is your experience of it. That there's you're seeing it through the lens of this emotional body. You can't see reality for what it is. Not that the thing itself is an illusion. The thing itself is irrelevant. So they're moving from the emotional body to the mental body, which is more, and it's not a rational thing, but it's not an emotional thing. So that's where it's kind of moving towards. And this movement is involved or geared towards or helped or exacerbated, but in a positive light, by the solar angel, with your idea that what you have to do is build this thing that is the bridge between you and your soul. And that's the work of the disciple. So I like that. I like that it's evolutionary. I like that it's not the end of the world. It's, you know, because an awful lot of the stuff that's going on at the minute is apocalyptic in thinking, and that's old eon stuff. It's the end of the world. It's the end of everything, you know. Everything went wrong. It's the fall. We've got it wrong. They say, no, this is what it is. This is the plan. This is how it is. This is the expression of God. This is how it's all meant to be worked out. In fact, it's not even necessarily where it's expression of God. It's the expression of, you know, the planet God, and then you have a universe God or solar system God, and you know, it's like this hierarchy, and it's massively into the microcosm is the macrocosm, and it's a reflection of it, and it's a moving forward, it's an evolution, and some of the answers we can't know until we get to a certain point. And I just find it fascinating, and I'd be just listening, or I'd have an issue or something would come up in my head, and I'd read the next coursework and the answer is just right there. And you're going, but that's mad. And it's happened so often with doing the coursework that it feels, apart from it, unless it was like, you know, very manipulated in the sense of, oh, we'll sow these seeds here and then answer them so it sounds very profound. And if so, brilliant. It's very clever and well done. But it feels more than that, because sometimes the answers will come in a video, or sometimes the answer will come from somewhere else, but it'll come very quick. And I also love the hokiness of it, because and the kind of batshitness of it, of Tibetans and masters hanging out in, you know, Shambhala, and the Christ is there and the Buddha's there. And then this Friday, there's the big festival of Wesak, which is, there's going to be energies released around the world. And it's so hokey and new age and all that, that it's great, because it kind of reminds me not to take it all too seriously either. That at times it's just ridiculous. And great. I enjoy all of that thing. Some elements I don't. Like, I don't go the whole way. The race stuff, I'm not sure. I don't know enough about the actual teaching, what the teaching itself says about it. I've only read really what other people say about it, and some of the stuff that other people said about it is definitely not true. And I think an awful lot of it's coming from the kind of complaints against Blavatsky and stuff like that, so it's a carryover from that. But there definitely has been changes made in the books, and words have been changed, and even in the Arcane School literature itself, there's definitely one place where they've removed the word savages from it and placed in uncivilized societies or something like that. But I mean, Jung's books are full of savages and stuff like that. And while you can say it's just a word at the time, it's still an outlook, right? So it's still an outlook of calling people savages or having that kind of opinion. And as someone who is supposedly more enlightened or have a greater kind of view or an outside view, you would suspect that if we now as a culture concede that that is wrong, that they should have seen that was wrong 50 years ago if they were in the elevated position that they are claiming to be. There's an awful lot of talk on sickness as a result of wrong thinking and stuff like that. But again, I am projecting stuff into that, because I know that was turned into, if you have cancer, it's your own fault for having shitty, non-loving thoughts or whatever it is that the New Age turned that into. I have to really kind of look at what the text is saying, look just to see what it's actually saying, rather than having all these kind of pre pre-notions that are presuppositions that I would be bringing in. So that's my attraction to it. Find it very helpful. Find it very positive. I find it very affirming. Find it very actionable. It's very practical. Very hard, the arcane skill stuff. Like, there's an awful lot, like, literature to get through. There's an awful lot of homework to get done. There's an awful lot of meditation reports. There's loads of stuff that has to be done. It's not kind of sit for 20 minutes a day and try to be one with the universe stuff. And the meditations themselves are very active rather than passive. You're not blissing out. You're not doing the work involved in it. Not necessarily visualization, but a lot of seed thoughts and stuff that I have to let grow and become all-encompassing and kind of work themselves out in front of you and stuff like that. It's very fascinating stuff. Yeah, that's why I like that particular brand of Theosophy at the moment, the Arcane School, Alice Bailey, Master DK stuff, finding great reward with it now. And I may not then in the future or whatever, but so far it's definitely where I should be and what I should be involved with. Good people of the internet, that was way longer than I expected it to be. I got carried away with my Theosophy stuff. If you enjoyed what I had to say or you found any value in it and you'd like to help me out to continue doing this kind of stuff and to continue doing the comics and the art and the music and the writing and the newsletter and more videos and all the kind of different stuff that I do, then please do consider joining the Patreon or sending a one-time donation via PayPal, or buy me a book off my book list, or join the Discord and have a chat with me, or like and subscribe and share the videos. Buy a book, buy a deck, buy my comics, buy anything. So anything that you could possibly do in some way just to help out. Yeah, there's no necessity to do it, but it really does help out if you do it. So, good people of the internet, until next time, may your best days be ahead and be well.